Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the Isetti Ranch. It's great to be home. I've been in Mexico for almost a month now, and it was quite a journey. You know, I could spend an hour on the show talking about that, but we'll have to save that from another show. But anyway, dealing with a lot of the shamans down there, the Huichols, the different Native American groups down there, it was quite an experience, and the visions and the dreams, and, you know, it was quite an eye-opener. So anyway, one of the reasons I went down there was to get some major dental work done as well, and I got all that done. So my teeth are good till 2012. speaking of that, my guest, Lynn Booth, he's got a incredible background in numerology, so I want to bring Lynn on the show to talk about his background and how numerology works and some of his predictions for 2010. So, Lynn, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Hey, well, welcome to the show, Lynn.
Thanks.
Do you want to talk a little bit about your background and maybe how you got into numerology?
Yeah, I would like to take a minute. I think it's kind of an interesting experience. I was introduced to numerology in 1961. Or 1964, a friend handed me a book called Your Days Are Numbered by Florence Campbell, which is still a classic in the field. And I had already been into astrology and some of the other, you know, esoteric studies, and I took it home. I said, well, this doesn't seem to fit. And then I sat down and did my numbers, and she had actually done them wrong. And so when I corrected it, you know, it was like, whoa. And so that sort of started my, you know, a deeper research into it. And along the way, you know, I'm also interested in parapsychology and the some of the other symbolic studies. But I think what makes my background a little more interesting is that I graduated from City College of New York, and I was interested in doing graduate work in parapsychology. And I ended up at West Georgia College, where I wrote my master's thesis on tarot and the numbers and symbolism of tarot. And that was actually published and became Tarot and Transformation, which is my first book back in 1973. Mm-hmm. And then in 77, I went back to West Georgia College, and I got what's called a specialist degree in counseling psychology. And I actually wrote my research paper on numerology as an adjunct to the counseling session. So I'm kind of unique in that I have two accredited graduate degrees and papers that were written on the subject, and both were published, and my last one being Numerology for the New Age, which was quite a popular selling book in the 80s and into the 90s. So I think that's kind of unique in the field, you know, to have the academic as well as a lot of intuitive experience. And
yeah, I've always loved to have science, you know, backing up. Right now, science is starting to come to grips with what a lot of people in the spiritual realms or the parapsychology realms have known for quite some time, and they seem to be merging.
Exactly. When you mention that, my Bible of numerology is called The Cosmic Doctrine by Dion Fortune. And it was said to be received from the inner planes in 1933, and it goes very deeply into the cosmology of numerology. And I studied that for years. I read it. I teach it. And I have Science Channel, you know, locally on my cable, and I've been watching a lot of the recent, breakthroughs in quantum physics and cosmology and that sort of thing. And the interesting thing is that just some of the most recent things that they've concluded, this was written in her book some 60-some years ago. So it is true that, you know, science and what we call metaphysics and physics are getting closer and closer together, and it's becoming more of an experience of melting with the cosmos rather than just looking through a telescope and observing and measuring the cosmos, and that's kind of what it's all about, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to work a long time ago, used to have conversations with, I think his name's Amit Goswami, who was in What the Bleep, and and Michio Kaku and those guys. And it was quite interesting because I would tell them things and they go, oh, that's nonsense. That's a bunch of nonsense. There's no possible way that you could actually experience these other dimensions. You know, that takes too much Planck energy. And they've had all of these reasons why it's impossible. And, you know, a few years later, now they're all talking about how it's,
yeah,
and explaining the science behind it and how it is possible. So
yeah.
I think that's quite interesting where
it
that's
interesting.
Gone. You know, you don't need all this Planck energy to go out of body and experience all these other dimensions. But, you know, the scientists want proof. You know, they want physical proof of non-physical events. And we just don't have the technology to do that yet.
Well, that's coming, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's right around the corner. And some people do have it. They do have some. I know I worked with Marcel Vogel before he died, and he had technology that actually measured each chakra and the energies in each chakra, and he could tell your life story from this machine as to where you're holding energy and where you're wounded and things of that nature.
Huh. Well,
that's
why
he disappeared.
That's one of the other aspects of numbers. You know, it's the numbers are a symbol. They're a static symbol, but they just are a representative of vibration and of rhythm and of cycles. And
mm-hmm.
through the contemplation and working with numbers, you go beyond the symbol and you go beyond the static number and you go into the experience itself. And, depending on your focus and your intent, you can travel through many dimensions and, anticipate and experience and sense the event and experience the event rather than looking in a rational, detached way. And that's
mm-hmm.
what I'm finding more and more in my own personal experience. And I think all of us are, it's that we're becoming more aware of our capacity to be aware in multiple dimensions and to be connected directly to our source, rather than contemplating. And that's kind of the exciting, I think, aspect of the mm-hmm. cycle we're in. And I think it's very relevant to what 2012 is about.
Oh, I agree. It seems so many people are telling me, and I'm experiencing myself, that I'm living a multiple-dimensional reality right now. And sometimes I find it hard to figure out which world I'm in. Just when I wake up in the morning, I go, okay, which is this world real or was the other world real? I'm trying to figure that out. So it's getting real interesting.
Yeah, me too. I'm slipping in and out a little more, and sometimes it's tempting just to stay in the other ones.
This
world's kind of a troubled world, that we're in, but I guess that's why we chose it, to hopefully contribute to a positive transition and to an awakening of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us a definition of numerology and basically how it works? I know, like you, I tried to figure out my own stuff once, and then I think I got it wrong, and then somebody else told me, no, you have it right, and I had somebody else tell me, Dean, I had it wrong. And after a while, I just got so confused. I said, I don't know. I said, I'm just going to go and have somebody do it.
Let me just put it into a little more a practical perspective that I think most of us are aware. There are what I call the five major symbolic studies, and that would be tarot and Kabbalah and I Ching and astrology and numerology. And each of these symbolic systems in their purity portray, metaphorically and symbolically, the path of descent out of spirit and into the realm of matter, into the different realms of consciousness, to become awakened in the different realms of consciousness, particularly where we are now in the material plane.
Mm-hmm.
And then we experience self-awareness on that plane, and then as we become aware of ourself and take responsibility, then there's the desire to kind of go back home, and it's what I call the journey from self-awareness back to cosmic consciousness or cosmic awareness, which, of course, would be direct knowing or direct awareness of our true source, our true eternal self, or however you want to, the higher self, however you want to define that. So each of these studies, are just give us reference points as to where we are in our growth and can help give us feedback and information to kind of measure and kind of weigh where we're at and give us, you know, guidelines and lessons and kind of point the path home. So numerology then, in terms of practical use, you basically take the full name at birth and the date of birth, and then you give a numerical value to each letter in the name. And then from that, there are four primary numbers. There are the number of the vowels, the number of the consonants, and then the number of the total name, and then the number of the date of birth, month, day, and year of birth. And then from that point, you know, different numerologists have a little bit different vocabulary and different terminologies as to what that means, but they all kind of basically come out in the end saying about the same thing. And I introduce a different concept to the whole field, in that I call the number of the consonants, I call the personality number. Personality number tells us a little bit about how we operate more in the outer world. It would be a little bit like the rising sign in astrology, how we kind of interact in the outer world and our kind of external persona and how we project that. The number of the vowels I call the soul number, and that would be more indicative of what's going on inside and the deeper purpose and the kind of the lesson that the soul has come to focus upon and accomplish in this particular lifetime. Mm-hmm. And as you know, most of us have problems. You know, we have karma, we have dysfunction, we have neurosis, we have fears, we have insecurities, we have ego problems. Most of us in this work are aware of that, and we're trying to resolve that. And as we become relatively clear in the personality, then the soul comes through the personality more clearly and more clean, and I call that the integrated self. So the total number I call the number of the integrated self, and that would be more what we aspire to be or what we're reaching to be, or kind of a level of accomplishment that we've chosen in this lifetime. And then the birth date, we sometimes call the life number or the life path, and that's more indicative of the lessons or the circumstances or the events that life continues to put in front of us and bring to our attention to help, you know, kind of awaken who we are, to become aware of who we are, and to encounter the lessons and experiences that we need for our particular stage of evolution and stage of awareness. So that's kind of an outline of how I approach the subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems a much more in-depth a way of doing things.
Well, I think so. And, you know, I do have 40-some years as a practicing therapist, and so I, you know, I blend therapeutic insights along with intuitive insights, and I think, again, I've added a dimension that way to the field and to the interpretation that someone who, without that academic and without that psychological background, would have. So it makes it kind of, makes my work kind of unique and kind of special, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always seen that. It's like the best in all fields, even like massage therapists or things like that. The ones that have that intuitive gift, you know, their hands just go to the right spot. And in counseling, the same thing, you know, the outline, you have an outline and you go by the outline and it works. But, you know, if you can add your intuition to that, or that just inner sensitivity to that outline, it enhances it tenfold, and you can really get some, you know, amazing results out of that.
Yeah, that's exactly true. One of my teachings is to don't get caught in the symbol and miss the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, because you can get caught in the number and miss the contact with the individual. And especially, you know, I'm an author and people see me as an expert, and so, you know, and sometimes I start to believe that myself, because it's like, well, if I wrote that, it must be true, you know.
And,
yeah,
yeah, I know
that be careful.
Yeah,
be
three
careful.
Books, and everybody tells me to read my books.
Yeah.
They keep quoting things back to me. Well, you wrote this and this and this. And I go, yeah. It's, you know, and so Now I have to live it, you know.
Yeah, it's true what you say, because, I mean, it's true, because a lot of the times the most insightful things that I've said have nothing to do with what I've written or what I teach. It's that leap into intuition and that trust of faith and saying what comes out of your higher self or intuitive space that more often than not is the real truth and what that person is really needing to hear at that moment. And
mm-hmm.
that's what makes this field really rewarding and very special, I think.
Yeah. Now, I know you have a lot of predictions on your website. I went through quite a few of them, and you have a lot for 2010. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Going up to 12?
I was just looking at it myself and saying, gosh, how are we going to cover all this? Because, you know, I mean, I did a lot of research. There's intuitive insights, but I did a lot of hours of research, and there are a lot of things in there. So we could hit the highlights, or, you know, you tell me how you want to do it.
Yeah, let's just go over some of the highlights, and especially concerning the UFO one. That's one of my deep interests, you know, so we can hit that number.
Okay, let me tell you, let me outline the year, and then I'll tell you how I came to some of the conclusions that I have and what some of them are. But
okay,
you take the year, which is called the calendar year or the universal year, 2010, and you add that up, 2 + 1 = 3. And you also take into account the zeros there, because they represent leaps in consciousness, but basically it's what we call a 3 universal year.
Mm-hmm.
3, you know, just in kind of general numerology, 3 is the number of human feelings and emotions. It is the number of spontaneity. It is the number of creativity. It is the number of imagination. It is the number of the artist. And focuses upon those qualities or those aspects in human experience or the personal experience. So you kind of expand that onto kind of a global level, and 3 becomes the number of creativity. It's the number of entertainment, of communications, of media, of sales. But it has to do with the purity of human experience, and that would be, on the highest level, that would be, you know, our spiritual or our cosmic or our pure kind of heavenly human emotions and joy and spontaneity. But then also, because we are in a world of duality and we're in a planet that's, you know, considerably influenced in darkness, we also have to consider the dark side, which includes our fears and emotional abuse and despair and that kind of thing, as well as the higher aspects. So when you go through a 3-year collectively, it emphasizes all of those, both the best and, to some extent, the darkest and worst, so that those can come into light to be illumined and to be transformed into a more healthy expression of human experience.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of gives you an outline and of an overall feeling. And then, if we also realize that when we're dealing with human experience, we're dealing with emotion, and emotion is related to liquid. So liquid has to do with water and oil and things like that. And then unconscious would be things under the surface, like magma and lava and that kind of energy as well. So that gives us kind of where I'm working from. So ideally, in a 3-year, truth would come out, and truth meaning, you know, the highest divine truth, as well as truth in lending and truth in politics and truth in history and truth in science. And that would be the pure side. But we live in a world, you know, of power and of politics and of control and of manipulation and of egos and competition.
Mm-hmm.
So that gets pretty distorted, and so, you know, it's going to bring a lot of conflicts between those who would desire to have control over the masses and those who desire to maintain control through manipulation and through lies and through deception and that sort of thing, and they don't like to give it up real easy. So it's a year then of when you look at creativity and that sort of thing, expect, you know, just incredible performances in terms of art and people seeing new colors and new archetypes and children and people coming forth with, you know, with singing and with voices that sound literally like angels, and that they tap into colors and tones and music and creations and art forms that capture, you know, higher levels of expression or new forms of symbolism or new colors or a transcendent energy that's coming into the planet. And there will be those who are kind of the first to see it and kind of bring it to our attention and lift us up and inspire and that sort of thing. Then on the other side is the manipulation of entertainment to keep us kind of in confusion and to perpetuate confusion and doubt and fear and exploitation and abuse and that sort of thing. And also, three is the number of creativity. It is, and creativity is sexuality, and sexuality is creativity. They're very intimately linked with the number three and in experience. So, you know, you may have read that I mentioned, too, that the sexual issues are going to be highlighted, and we're already seeing that, you know, just in the first few weeks there have been numerous scandals already.
Yeah.
And the dark side would be, you know, the exploitation of sex, the sex for pleasure, sex, abusive sex, trafficking of children and people for sexual abuse and use. That aspect will get more and more attention because that's just part of what we're working through in our you know, our awakening. The other side is a kind of a awareness of a transcendental sexuality, and I tentatively have called it fusion sex and fission sex. And fission sex, to me, being, you know, it's a passionate, there's an attraction, but more often than not, it's based in pleasure, it's based in abuse, it's based in exploitation of the body and a partner, rather than transcendental experience or transformation. Whereas fusion sex would be rooted more in love between partners and respect for partners and entered into in harmony. And fission sex, you know, you get through and it's interesting and it's exciting and it's passionate and it's gratification, but when it's done, it's like it's all over and then you immediately want more, you know. It's kind of an addictive energy. Whereas fusion sex, when it's shared, it's shared in such a way and you are both lifted up and both of you are left with something beyond just the sexual energy that goes to each of the other dimensions. And it inspires, you know, emotional creativity, it inspires mental creativity, it lifts us closer to our creator. And the closest thing I can kind of describe would be tantric sex, but I hate to mention that because tantric sex has become so, you know, it's become public and misused and turned into just another, you know, kind of gratification process rather than what it's meant to be, which is, you know, fusing through all the chakras and then out through the crown chakra in a kind of total transcendental union of partnerships.
I know, so, the Dalai Lama, a lot of the Tibetan teachings, the highest teachings are tantric, you know.
Yeah.
And they have the highest connections in there. So it's quite interesting, but a lot of people have trouble with that, you know. And some people are food Nazis, too, and they talk about, you know, one person. I get emails all the time saying, you know, if you eat meat, you're unspiritual and this and that, and your body's not designed to eat meat, and you have molars. And I go, well, what are those canines, and why don't we have a four-chambered stomach? And, you know, the Dalai Lama and most of the other Tibetans eat meat.
So
it's kind of weird. Everybody has these belief systems, and, you know, I don't think we need to eat as much of it, and we need to you know, see how it was processed and things like that, and But you know, at the same time, I think teach its own. We need to, you know, get out of each other's space. You know, one of the other things I want to talk about too is you're saying that there's going to be different light coming in. There's people I know that are getting crystals, and they're shining them on the wall, and there's an extra band there. Almost looks like two extra bands in the light spectrum.
Whoa.
That weren't there before.
Yeah.
I think there'll
be more of that kind of thing, you know, and I think, you know, the artists through their sculpture and through their poetry and through their colors and through their paintings will also give us glimpses of those, that kind of thing. And again, it's mm-hmm. kind of peeking into the next dimensions and seeing, you know, you see red, but you see red on yet another level, and it's a different red than our red, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, there'll be, I think, more and more of that, and I think more of the public, just the general public, are going to start grasping these and sensing these higher levels of, you know, desire for a higher level of creative expression and sexual transformation. And
mm-hmm.
But first, you know, we have to go through the dark side, and you have to kind of bring the dark side to the surface and look at it and identify it and deal with it. You can't keep running away from it. And since some of our most powerful leaders are involved in it, it's kind of a tricky wicket, you know, to clear that up.
Yeah, it seems those first three chakras, you know, survival, sex, and power, they're so entrenched in that, and they're so far away from their heart and their soul that they're locked into those first three. And
yeah, exactly.
And they're accelerating right now and getting amplified, and all this seems to be coming up to the surface right now to see you know, just where their motives and intentions are and where they hold their consciousness. And you know, obviously it all is getting exposed right now. And, you know, the water too. I mean, look what's happening. California just got so flooded. I mean, record-breaking storms. And now the East is getting it. They're having record snowfalls.
Well, you know, I think that it's kind of a reflection of human consciousness, and we are in a very turbulent emotional time. And so mm-hmm. it's kind of reflected. There's the excess, you know, and that's part of the number three is extravagance and excessiveness and overdoing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's reflected, I think, in our weather in the sense that, you know, there are areas that are just being inundated with emotion or with water, and then, of course, we have the other side of famine and drought and mm-hmm. complete dryness, which is also symbolic of our repression and of our restriction and hiding our true spontaneous feelings under, you know, all of the conventional modes of denial and that sort of thing, you know, repression and then becoming victims and then getting angry and that whole cycle.
But isn't it odd that Washington, D.C. right now is just getting buried with excess?
You know?
That's a reflection of the just total excessive greed going on there. And
I mean, so many things, as you know, and I think we'll agree, are just totally out of control in politics and business and money. The way we handle money is also, you know, in our individual life, the way we handle money and give and take and distribute and hold on is very reflective of the way we conduct our emotional self.
Mm-hmm.
And on a large scale, that's true too. And so we see, you know, right now, money is being collected into the hands of very few, and those people who have it don't want to let go because it's power.
Mm-hmm.
And so money is going to be a continuing issue here until people become disengaged from the attachment to money, as you know, and the fear factor, and open up to you know, the flow of consciousness and to prosperity, and realize that security doesn't come from the dollar or from the gold piece or from the script. It comes from within, and then
have
a transformation of money. But until then, money issues are going to be a real mess, the way I see it.
Yeah, I've always felt love is the ultimate power, and until you get in your heart, you'll never figure that one out. Love serves, and when you're disserving or you're, you know, hoarding like a lot of the elite or those who think they're entitled, you know, or think they're separate from the whole, that program they're running is the most disempowering program you can ever run, especially concerning their own soul evolution. And they're disconnecting from the soul, which is connected to the source, which is the real power.
Exactly.
You know, and every time they tell a lie or screw somebody or swindle somebody or take a bribe or whatever, they get further and further away from their own souls. And,
yep.
You know, pretty soon they have no power whatsoever, and they're just taken over by other forces that aren't civilized, you know?
Yeah, exactly right. I would agree.
And so I think that's what...
Go ahead.
I think that's the disease in Capitol Hill right now, is that this kind of elitist, separatist entitlement program that they're running, and, you know, they consider themselves separate, you know, from the masses, and service has just gone out the door. You know, there's only a few in there that are really calling it like it is and standing up for the rest of humanity.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things I mentioned, that, you know, our society is drugged, you know, by painkillers and antidepressants and behavior modification and this and that. And when you take this kind of thing, you just cover up and you further repress, and it's building up a real nasty pool of, you know, in the collective unconscious, mm-hmm. and a lot of collective anger. And pretty soon I think that it's just going to come out through, you know, some event's going to trigger it, and a lot of this repressed anger is going to come to the surface, and there will be, you know, some major upheaval and possible rioting and a major breakdown of the infrastructure. I'm feeling that more and more. I see a vision of, out of control, and, mm-hmm. well, it's kind of scary, and yet, to some extent, it's good that it comes to the surface, and then people can acknowledge it, and then if they would just acknowledge their own individual anger instead of projecting it out into the collective consciousness, and then start, you know, cleansing and transforming, then we move towards, I think the breakthrough into these other dimensions, and we create that other world that people are speaking about. Mm-hmm. Or you can cling to the fear and to the darkness and to the abuse and to the victimhood and stay kind of locked into third dimension and into this, you know, particular world, if that's what you so choose.
Yeah, I saw a thing on Reuters, I guess, went out, and they had it on WorldNet Daily and several other ones. They covered it, and they're saying now they're going to actually, they're all these... surgeons are going back to Al-Qaeda, you know, to put breast implants and explosive breast implants in women
so they
can send them up to the airplanes or wherever. And, I thought about that, and I go, you know, there's so many levels to that. One is just another big fear game, you know, because even the BBC said that, you know, Al-Qaeda was a contrived group, you know, they were a manufactured group, and they never really totally exist. There are no sleeper cells, anything. They couldn't find any of the massive underground facilities. All the stuff that was told to us was turned out to be a lie.
Yeah.
And that's quite interesting. But then now they're going, okay, now they're going to take women and explode their breasts on planes. And, you know, I go, how far are they going to take this before people go, what? You know, what?
Yeah.
Are you talking about, you know, now they want to have these scanners that disrupt your DNA and everything else. And they're just taking it to the max with all of this stuff on every level. And,
well,
and
that's part of the whole issue. It's just, you know, we're out of control, and in response to out of control, then we're over controlling, you know?
Yeah.
And, with, you know, there'll be cameras on every corner and in every household, and, you know, microphones in every household, so that we don't get out, you know, so that we aren't threatened by terrorism and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. My feeling, too, is that, okay, so you're going to take a woman, you know, and, you know, that, you know, you suckle on a woman's breast for life, you know, and you take the most loving, nurturing thing, you know, a child and a woman, and you turn it into a weapon, and then you totally degrade the women by exploding that part of their body. And, you know, it's just, you look at this and you go, well, how sick can we take this? You know, how far?
Well, unfortunately, I think it's going to go a little bit further until it hits, like you say, it hits that point where people just wake up and say, my God, you know, maybe we need to make a change.
Yeah. And how do we get people just not to participate? I mean, it's what I'm saying, the only way out is to just kind of step away from this system. You know, the dragon's too fat to fly. A lot of people are saying it's unsustainable. You know, it's already gorged itself, you know, with all the banksters and everything else. And, you know, if people just say, you know, I'm done with this program, I'm not going to participate in any way whatsoever.
It would end overnight, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
If the people just would say, I don't care to participate, it would end overnight.
Yeah, you know, what if they gave a warrant, nobody came? You know, it's that same old program.
Yep.
But, you know, it's a reflection of the greed in all of us that I see. Is what they're showing us is that, you know, and that's how they hook you with that future fulfillment. You know, they hit our own little greed button. You're going to make all this money, you know, and this. And then they fleece you, you know, after the end. But, you know, we have to look at that and go, well, wait a second. You know, I have to take responsibility because I invested in this. I thought I was going to make a killing. You know, I invested in the war industry and the pharmaceutical industry. And now this stuff is coming back to bite me. And so I guess it all goes back to individual responsibility and education.
Well, it's also where you place your value. You know, if you place your security on an external item, then you're going to be hooked to that. If you place your security on the inner part that is eternal and that is true and is forever, then, you know, you'll be secure in whatever the situation, and it's like, you know, living in the world but not being hooked on it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you were asking about... Oh, Scott, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm kind of walking that road right now because, you know, having the two radio shows, I have to kind of be aware of what's going on in the world, but I have to view it with loving detachment and not get emotionally involved in it at the same time, but I need to be aware of it. But at the same time, I'm putting all my time and energy into creating a different world and a different focus. So it's kind of a tricky, you know, walking between both worlds and you know, there's probably going to come a point in time where I'm just going to remove myself completely from one world and focus 100% into the other world.
Well, I'm struggling with that issue, too, you know. I mean, it's just I get glimpses, and it's really beautiful out there, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I come back and deal with this and watch the NBC Nightly News and all the stuff that's going on. It's like crying already.
Yeah, I threw my TV out the window about 23 years ago, I think, or about 24 years ago. I haven't had a TV, so I'm okay. But you know, I get the internet and I get a few hundred emails a day, and everybody keeps me informed, even if I don't want to be. It doesn't matter. So I'm still up on things.
You ask about the UFOs, and one of the things I did mention is that it goes with the theme that. Ideally, truth comes out in a 3-year, and you know, and we open up and we're honest with what's going on. And I have to admit that I've thought before that it would come out, but I felt pretty strongly that this could be the coming. This year is when there finally is an admission, you know, that UFOs are here, that we have extraterrestrial connection, that we're interacting with them and have been for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the encouraging news is that I think you know that many of the countries have opened up their UFO files, and some of them have even said that that it's very likely extraterrestrial, and have been pretty, you know, straightforward about it. And it's curious that the one country that's holding on and keeping us misled and in the dark is the United States, which I find rather interesting.
Yeah, there's a reason for that. You know, it's basically because they've been back engineering the UFOs for so long. And so they're trying to keep it a secret. It has a higher clearance than nuclear weapons, you know. So I think
there's so many people now, and there have been so many leaks, and I think there are enough people that are aware of what's going on that to continue to try to hide, it's going to be folly at some point, and then they're just going to really look ridiculous, you know.
Yeah, I have two feelings on that. One is basically disclosures already happened because over 80 plus percent. Some of the polls are saying 86% of the people believe that UFOs exist and there is a government cover-up. So when you look at polls it's over with. I mean, the cover-up is over with, and all these guys are doing is losing what little bit of credibility they have left. It's going out the wayside. So basically, I think, to me, disclosure is over. All, like you're saying, all the other countries have disclosed. I know Mexico has thousands of ships, and they're actually diverting air traffic from certain areas because there's so many UFOs in that area.
I know, it's amazing what's going on, yeah.
Yeah, they're diverting pilots around these areas. And so when you got these flotillas, flying over whole cities.
I know Brazil's opened up, Japan's opened up, UK has released a lot of stuff, Belgium, Germany, France, mm-hmm. and they're coming now more and more. So I just put that as maybe this is the time that they come forward and make an actual announcement that it is real and it is going on, and I don't think there's going to be panic in the streets that they think, because so many people have pretty well figured that out anyway.
Yeah, the majority of the people already know about it, and really they're shooting their own self in the credibility foot anyway by continuing to try to feign ignorance. And my thing is, like, why do we need them to tell us it's okay to believe in the obvious? My thing is, why are we giving them so much power to tell them what we can believe in?
I like that.
Yeah, we had ABC out here, and we've had BBC out here. They had their minds blown, and we've had Fox News out here. Yeah, Hannity actually covered it, in a very positive manner. We were shocked, And so we're getting all this mainstream news coverage on this event. And you know who's censoring us most?
Who?
The UFO community.
Oh.
It's amazing, the big international UFO Congress, and even, I used to be on Coast to Coast and all these other things. It's like the major UFO community has become so infiltrated. Now they're the censors of what's really going on.
Oh, yeah.
And the mainstream is letting it all out.
Yeah.
And they're not looking too good, in the UFO community right now, because there's literally thousands of people that have been up here and they're seeing all the news footage and everything else. They think they're somehow winning out, but they're really not. They're digging a big hole for themselves.
Yep, I would agree. So I could take this moment to put in a plug. There are a lot of things on here. I'm looking at my predictions, and if I can put a plug in, if people are interested in listening, that they can go to my website, which is Forever Numerology. Mm-hmm. .com, and then just click on the article tab, and there's quite a bit more here, but we don't have time to cover.
And if they want a reading or something, they just go to the website and contact you through there.
Yep, and there you can go to support at forevernumerology.com, and get in touch with someone on the staff, and we can process that too.
Great. Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people wanting to have a reading, which gets us into that. We aren't going to do personal readings on the air tonight because there's so much other information to cover. And later on in the show, we can do call-ins maybe towards the end of the show.
What I thought we might consider is there's what's called the personal year.
Mm-hmm.
And I could kind of just briefly go through the personal year, and that way everyone who's listening can kind of get a little glimpse of what's happening to them, and that way everyone gets a little reading rather than trying to do a one-on-one kind of thing.
Yeah, that would be great, because I always do mine wrong, and so it'd be nice to have somebody walk me through it to give me the right way of doing it.
Well, let's talk about it. So you take your month of birth,
mm-hmm.
and your day of birth, and then you add the number 3, which is for this year. In other words, you're constructing mm-hmm. your personal year number. So the 3 is for the year 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, do you mind revealing your birth date, and I'll just do it, or would you rather not?
No, that's fine. 7/22.
So you take 7 plus 2 is 9. Mm-hmm. Plus 2 is 11, and 1 and 1 is 2, plus 3 for the universal year, so that would be a 5 personal year.
Okay.
Let me make sure that's right. You know, I go through this when I do my work, because my ex-wife used to say, Lynn, you're a wonderful numerologist. You just can't add.
Yeah.
And I have to really be careful, because I do weird things with my addition. And I usually do it with a calculator now just to check the addition. But 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 1 and 4 is 5. That's another way of doing it. You know, just go 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 1 plus 4. So if anyone listening, you take the month and the day, and then you'll get a total, like in your case, 14, and then we call that reducing it to a single digit. So 1 and 4 would be 5, so that would be a 5 personal year.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that in a minute. So I'll give a moment for people to calculate that, and then I'll talk about all of them just a little bit in general.
Okay.
Kind of give people a little feel of what it's all about. I was interested in what you had to say about your trip to Mexico. It sounded like a really interesting experience.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was like welcome to Harry Potter world, you know. I was teaching them Kundalini, which is an ancient Tibetan technique. They just released it. It's a 2,000-year-old technique of, you know, engaging higher consciousness and energy like Qigong. You know, it's actually called Neigong. And you know, everybody was just loving it down there. And, you know, they don't have any money down there. People there are just hanging on. So I just did it for free and taught the classes, and it's still ongoing down there. Now, and they just loved it. But I had to deal with a lot of old consciousness down there, and some of the lower worlds kept creeping in. And, you know, people are doing a lot of peyote ceremonies and smoking pot and getting drunk. A lot of anger inside of them, and that would come up, and I'd have to deal with those energies. And
yeah,
it was
sure.
quite interesting. Overall, it was an awesome experience, but I saw some things I've never seen before that I had to deal with.
Interestingly enough, that would be typical of 5 year, because 5, among other things, is the number of travel. It is the number of experience. It is the number of new ideas, of new friends, opening up to new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly in this time, you know, travel could also mean literally traveling into another dimension or another place or space where you've never been before. That would be typical.
That's exactly what was happening. I mean, I had a vision with Our Lady of Guadalupe there. Very beautiful vision. And she showed me all these events, and then she showed me all these people with banners and poles standing in front of the church, and everything was just in disarray. And she was saying their banners and their poles aren't going to help them. You know, it's their consciousness. And on the downside, I mean, I had like people put these demonic things flying on these reptilian, looked like almost like pterodactyl type things, you know.
Gosh, physical, you mean, or etheric?
Etheric.
Coming
up, and I had to just face them and beam them with love, and they'd hiss, and then they'd fly off. You know, they couldn't do anything to me, but it was, I go, wow, these things do exist.
Well, we're all going to be wrestling with our demons, you know, and it takes many forms.
So what I'd like to do then
is just kind of go through quickly the 9 years, and that way, as I say, each person listening will get a little glimpse. So if we start with the 1 year, if you're in a one personal year, one starts the cycle in numerology. So in a 1 year, it is a time, you know, to get started, to put things in motion, new ideas, new job, things that, you know, you've been wanting to do. This is the time to initiate and to physically do and to put it, you know, to put in motion and get done the things, get started on the things you want to do, rather than dreaming and wishing and thinking.
Mm-hmm.
One is very masculine and is influenced by the masculine side particularly, and so in a 1 year it has a lot to do with issues with your father, grandfather, men in your life, and your own male energy.
Mm-hmm.
So those issues are going to come to the surface, and, you know, conflicts or rebellion or anger or abuse or domination from the father, and releasing those, you know, the anger and the resentment, and becoming free and connecting to your own inner man or your own inner male energy.
Mm-hmm.
Two is the number of cooperation. It is the number of polarity and duality. Two is the number of getting along with others. And so in the 2 year, it's a time to nurture the feminine side and to become more aware of your own identity. A lot of times when people go through the 2 year, they realize that they've created an image. You know, we all kind of come out of some kind of abuse in our family background.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us, like, whether it be alcoholism or sexual abuse or gambling or through other forms of abuse, and each of us develop an image that we use for survival. It's a survival strategy. And so very often the 2 year is related to our self-image and the way we project and relate to the public. And it's a time to let go of the survival image and, you know, learn to connect to our true inner self, which, you know, our ongoing and our true divine self. And to, you know, the old saying, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. And so rather than looking external, is to acknowledge your own eternal and divine source.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people in the 2 year, you know, are wrestling with that issue and trying to get out of the survival mode and into the connecting to the other polarities, to other dimensions. Two is also related very much to the feminine side and to relationship with your mother, grandmother, and women in your life, and recognizing the any negative influences and karma and dysfunctional patterns, and beginning to connect from that part of identity and discovering your own true feminine self. So when the one and two work together, it gives birth to the three, and three is the number of creativity. It is the number of self-expression. It is the number of artistic expression. So very often people in the 3 year feel, you know, a need to write or to sculpt or to do something new or to express talent or ability that they have and have not been able to acknowledge or have not been able to do previously. The 3 year a lot of times brings up repressed sexual issues, and so a lot of times memories of child abuse or sexual abuse as a child will come to the surface, and that may, you know, the person who's going through that may want to work that out professionally or with someone qualified, and because it's kind of a difficult thing to go through alone. But when you get through that negative aspect, then three is, you know, the number of spontaneity and joy, and it is the Christ word spoken, you know, it is speaking with the voice of angels and with the purity and, you know, like an innocent child kind of thing. Four is the number of work and discipline and career, and particularly people that's into consciousness and awareness. You know, you want to do the work of our Father. I want to do my true life work. And a lot of times when people enter the 4 year, if they're not happy in their work, both physical, you know, earth work, or particularly if there's often, I see this a lot now, that people in the 4 year, they come to a realization, you know, there's something more I've come to do. There's something I need to get done. And that comes up a lot in the 4 year, and particularly if you come from a home where one of the parents, and usually the father, is a workaholic, and then there's a lot of conflict because, you know, if dad is a workaholic, that means he was never there to be with me.
Yeah.
And he was never there to be with me because he was working, and then it creates an unconscious resentment towards the father's work.
Yeah, we've got about 1 minute left, not even that. So can we shoot through the five really quick, and then we'll have to sign off?
Quickly. Yeah, five is experience. 6 is responsibility and relationships. 7 is going within to connect to your spirituality. 8 is connecting to your true power. And 9 is the dream that you want for your life possibly coming true. That'd be kind of a quick summary. I didn't realize we had to cut off at 5 till. I thought we had till 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I wish we did, too. I wish we didn't. Yeah, we'll have to get you on the show again, and we'll go through the rest of the numbers. But
maybe we could do it another time.
Yeah, so why don't you give your website out real quick, and then we'll have to sign off.
Give what?
Give your website out again real quick.
Oh, it's Forever Numerology.
Great.
Thanks.
Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show,
thanks,
and we'll have to do it again soon.
I'd love to.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay,
well, this is James Dillon with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.